BBC
Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1 free downloads.
Hello, free downloaders. Here is the Scott Mills Daily for Monday, the 17th of September, 2012. On this show, double Olympic medalist Zach Purchase plays innuendo bingo. Chris calls Deborah Meaden again with another business idea that he wants her to invest in. A classic 24 years at the tap end involving a sinking boat and a naked man. And to start the podcast, I couldn't speak at 10 past 8 this morning. Gay Lady Gaga.
What are you talking about?
Gaily La La and Poker Face, and before
are
that...
Are you all right? Just, where did that come from? You can't... Do you have to apologise?
Gay! And The Killers and Runaways. This is Scott Mills. At least if this isn't the time when most people are listening. And this is the Radio On Breakfast Show. Gay!
I'm sure you've got to say sorry.
With Scott
something.
Mills. Gay!
It's all fine.
I don't think I have to apologise, do I?
Don't know.
I just got Lady Gaga's name wrong.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
I don't know what to call this. This is Scott Mills, and it's the Radio On Breakfast Show this week.
That sounds a bit weak.
Yeah. Hi, Chris.
Hello.
Morning. People are asking if this makes me the shortest breakfast presenter ever in Radio 1 history, and I think it does.
I suppose technically, yes.
I mean, you've been doing some research.
Yes.
What have you got?
Well, for example...
Has anyone done it less time than this, a week?
No. Mark and Lard did it 8 months.
Yeah, that didn't go well.
Kevin Greening?
Yeah.
And Zoe Ball? 11 months?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you will... There is a space here on Wikipedia for you.
Is there?
Well, there must be, because you're not really filling in for anyone. You're not covering someone this week, are you?
Because Nick Grimshaw starts this time next week. He'll be on. 6.30 next Monday morning. So, when people look back in time, they'll see the list of people. Who's the shortest breakfast reign so far?
I think it's Mark and Lard. Or, actually, is it? Oh, no, Mark Goodyear, 2 months.
Wow.
I mean, that was a good one.
So, people will look back and they'll see the list of people, and my whole week will be on there, and they'll just think, God, he must have been awful.
Yes.
A week!
But all the same, it'll look great on the CV, because you'll be there technically as a breakfast show presenter. Also, I think it's kind of good that you've done the shortest one. It makes you different to everyone else on there.
That's right. And what I can do, like people who do work experience for like 3 days, I'll just put the month that I did it. I won't put from so-and-so till so-and-so. I'll just put September 2012, and no one will know.
I mean, thinking about it, Moyles did one show with his marathon show, which was actually technically longer than your whole entire stint on breakfast.
So one show was the entirety, more than the entirety of my entire breakfast reign.
Yes. So,
Wow. It wasn't a week, was it?
Well, I mean, what was it, 52 hours or something, I suppose?
Actually, yeah, you're right. Yeah, it's true. What are we going to call this show?
I'm open to ideas with this. I think it should be Scott and the Gang.
I hate gang. There used to be a guy on a station in Bristol that I used to work for. Every day we'd go, "Morning, gang!" And it made me want to put my head in the oven.
Yes.
So, "Morning, gang!" No, not so much.
Not keen on
that. Not so much.
There's a few
Scott and
things.
The crew? Yeah, well, Scott and the morning crew?
Yes. I mean, it's a difficult one. We need...
Well, they're not going to fork out for any jingles, are they, for 5 days?
This is it. We need... We should have thought of this before, but we need a name and we need jingles.
If anyone wants to make some jingles for the world's shortest breakfast show, maybe you've got a band or maybe a laptop, either or, then, if you want to make us some jingles, that'd be good, because we ain't got none.
Yeah, it's going well.
BBC Radio 1.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Please welcome to Radio 1, Zach Purchase, double Olympic medalist. Hi, Zach.
Yeah. Good morning.
Thank you very much for coming in.
Hey.
Is the first thing people always say to you, come on then, let's see them.
Well, as you just said it, there you go.
Oh, you've brought them in. Oh, God, that's heavy.
Sorry, I didn't mean to drop
that's
it.
That's the London 2012.
That's 4 years Beijing. Old, it's a bit tatty now. But it's...
The London...
I've
medals
not seen
are bigger.
One of these. I've not seen one of these sort of live.
Size matters, you know.
Right, so the London 2012 ones are bigger than the 2008 Beijing ones. Why is that?
Because London knows size is important.
Well, it really is. It's a lot bigger. Like, when it's Rio, it's going to be huge.
It's going to be dinner plate size.
Yeah, it really is.
Those medals, Scott, can get you in anywhere, I reckon. Any nightclub.
We were just talking about this the other week. Like, I quite enjoy it that at the moment, athletes are the new celebrities. Like, the only way is Essex people off. Mm. Now, it's all about the Olympics.
Yeah, it is. It's nice to know that people actually take it seriously. Yeah. I mean, a few Olympics ago, no one really cared, but now it's important.
I reckon you're right, though. You could probably get into anywhere with this, baby.
It's like a glorified Blue Peter badge, if you will.
It's not a battering ram. You can't just whack a door down with it.
I mean, no, you could, but I mean, if you showed that to a bouncer, I reckon, Zach, yes, you would get in anywhere.
Straight in.
Desperate bouncer.
Are you not worried about losing them? Do you take them everywhere with you?
They go everywhere with me. I left the gold one in Beijing in a taxi. In Beijing.
Oh!
But I got it back. I threw myself in front of the taxi and it stopped. It didn't run me over and I rescued it from the clutches of this insane Chinese taxi driver.
Wow. Well, but thank you very much for coming in today.
Pleasure. I'm quite nervous actually. I'm quite looking forward to it.
It's going to be good.
It's going to be an adventure.
I don't want you to hold back. Have you heard Inuit Bingo before?
Oh, yeah, many times. Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
so you know exactly what to do. I know that you were a bit worried that I said earlier and you were listening that there was a twist.
Yep.
You're the twist.
Yeah. Okay, right.
This is what they can't get used to, these Team GB people, can they?
Like, the fact that we've got Olympic people on all this week.
I thought you might
twist.
Be like using, like, Vimto or something like that.
No,
something
no.
Really sticky.
No, it's just good plain old water.
Okay.
Do we give our athletes a nudie pen as
I
well?
Think it would be an honour for them to receive one.
Yeah.
I would love a nudie pen.
Would you?
I don't know what one is, but that's,
right.
Lovely.
Okay, it's just those pens with a lady or a man on, and you tip them upside down and the clothes fall off.
Have you got a trophy cabinet or at home?
I put my medals in frames, usually.
Right.
So that would be its own frame. Yeah,
if you could do that as well.
Yeah,
and just take it to any kind of, like, any press conference you're doing, any kind of event, make sure you write with that, because I want it to be all over, yeah?
Okay, I'll do my best, yeah.
We've got, I think Pink's got one now. Who else got one? Cheryl Cole didn't like it at all.
Yeah, Lana Del Rey.
Lana Del Rey's got one. She loved
it. And now me.
And now you. Mm.
An exclusive club.
Yeah, exactly. The Scott Mills Daily. BBC Radio 1. And this is Scott Mills. Exciting times. This time next week, you will be listening to the brand new Radio 1 breakfast show with Nick Grimshaw. It's happening next Monday morning, 6:30. Give Grimmy a try. He's very excited. You'll like it. 6:30 next Monday morning, the new Radio 1 breakfast show with Nick Grimshaw. He's on holiday this week, practicing how to do the breakfast show in his hotel room in Torremolinos. I made that up. And at lunchtimes with me, very exciting as well, because it's the return of 24 years at the Tap End. It's back for the autumn. You know how, like, autumn is the time when all the good stuff gets on TV and the nights get a bit colder and you can just, like, snuggle in at night? That's the idea. That's why we brought it back in the autumn season. So get ready for a brand new series of 24 years at the Tap End. My friend Chris's autobiography, or as he calls it, autobography, starting at lunchtimes next week. For now, though, every day this week in the morning, we're playing you a classic episode. Radio 1. You've heard this before.
BBC Radio 1.
You've heard it before. This is a repeat. It's not happening now. And now, more tales from the life of Chris Stark, 24, from Pinner. You're still loving this. It's 24 years at the Tap End. You ready?
I'm ready. I'm thinking maybe to go to the 20th year today, if you're keen.
Oh, we've not gone that far before, have we?
I don't think we've done anything from the 20th year before.
Okay, here it is. 24 years at the Tap End, Thursday edition.
Is that it? Is that the intro?
Yeah.
Oh.
Is
you're
that
on.
It? What more do you want?
Well, usually it's a big build-up.
Have you got a fanfare? Can we give him a fanfare? It is almost Christmas.
Diva.
Soon you'll be asking for theme music.
That's not a bad idea.
Oh, God.
We could do a theme tune if you want. And now on BBC One, 24 years at the Tap End. And now, 24 years at the Tap End.
What are you thinking, Chris?
It's good, but it's not right. That sounded like Roy Walker. Oh, yes.
No, I think that's been used before. Stick a pony in me pocket.
I'll fetch the suitcase. I love Only Fools and Horses.
Yeah.
This is my favourite.
That doesn't surprise me.
But you can't just steal someone else's theme tune.
I'm working through the box set at the moment.
If you change a couple of notes, I'm sure you can get past the copyright issues, though. That's been done before, hasn't it?
Am I the only person in the world that doesn't find Only Fools and Horses funny?
Yes.
Okay.
So here it is, 24 years at the tap end.
I like this bit.
Go.
This is good. My 20th year at the tap end. I'm finding I'm reading it like the news now, though.
Okay.
Wait for the big bombs and then start.
Here it is, 24 years at the tap end.
We had just moved into our new student house at 3A Brookvale Road in Southampton. We thought we had picked up the ultimate student house for what was a reasonable price. The only thing was, we were having to wait a couple of months until work on turning it into what the man described as a student palace was completed. The house we had just bought used to be an old people's home.
Yes.
But despite assurances, when we moved in, it didn't look any different. Short of removing the stair lift, I couldn't really see what they had done. I shotgunned the room next to the window and moved my stuff in.
At least they removed the stair lift out of your one. My friend's one, they had kept the stair lift in it.
Which I would have liked,
it's
actually.
The thing is, though, when you use one, you think, yes, I've got a stair lift, and they take so long.
Yeah,
it is quicker to walk.
It's still good.
No, I don't think it is good. Because you're sitting there, and it's like the world's slowest thing. It can take like 15 minutes to get up the stairs.
Yeah. I remember also that that flat had a loo with a cord in it.
A what? Sorry?
Had a cord that you could pull at any time.
Always wondered about this in toilets. You know, the red cord that's there.
Mm-hmm.
If you pull it, what happens?
Someone comes to aid you.
Really?
But yeah, I'm not sure that would have happened in your student house.
No.
Yeah, exactly. If I'd pulled the red cord in the student house, no one would have come, would they?
No.
It was a strange house. A long corridor with metal bars along the wall and a massive living room. There were also warning signs everywhere and loads of bathrooms. I think this appealed to the girls we were living with, as it meant me, Oggy, and the two Eds could have a separate bathroom. There was also a locked cupboard that we one day gained access to, where I discovered a box of 80s adult videos.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Did you watch them?
Am I allowed to say the name of one of them?
Go on.
Booberella. Based on the classic Cinderella.
Of course.
Just a slightly different plot.
No, not Cinderella, Barbarella, isn't it?
Oh, what's Barbarella?
I don't know, but I think it's a film from the 70s.
It is. It's not isn't based it on got... Cinderella. You obviously didn't watch it.
Oh.
Or did you?
Yeah, I did.
And did you think this is a very different plot? Where are the ugly sisters?
Barbarella.
Yeah, she's like some sort of sci-fi. Was it a bit like that?
Was it sci-fi based?
That's it.
Yeah? It's a Franco-Italian science fiction film.
Type in Booberella, see what comes up.
Oh, something from The Simpsons.
No, it wasn't that. Well, anyway, we found a whole stack.
Oh, yes, featuring... This is one Candy Cantaloupes, isn't it?
Who?
Do you know, actually, do you know what? I've taken the mick out of him, but he's right. According to IMDb, Booberella is Cinderella given a sexy look.
Oh, okay.
So it's not Barbarella at all, even though that would have been a better thing.
That is misleading. Continue.
It was a strange old house, but being next to Blockbuster, Charcoal Grill and KFC, it had everything I needed. I brought Scott there once, but I couldn't tell if he was really impressed with the place or really disgusted. I'd only just moved into the new house when the time came for the legendary Jester's nightclub staff party. I'd recently started working in Jester's, DJing the AU nights every Wednesday. It was a brilliant job. The staff parties were the stuff of legends, and everything looked set for this one to be the same. For once, we were having our party out of the club and going on a fishing trip. It was the Jester's fishing trip.
What?
Right.
Hang on a second. Who has their staff party at a fishing trip?
The idea was, I suppose it was like an outdoor thing. Everyone would bond. It's just something a bit different. It was a brilliant idea.
How
I
many
thought.
People?
Oh, I suppose there would have been about 30 of us.
I've never been fishing. Is it any good?
Yes.
Do you know what I'm scared of fishing? Is when I walk past like where the fishermen are. I don't know if I once saw this in a cartoon or something, but I'm really scared of when they flick it back.
Agreed.
It's going to log in my head and then pull my scalp off. Does anyone else get that? I know the chances of it happening are quite slim.
No,
I think it every time I walk past fishermen.
Yeah, I used to go with my granddad and used to be also terrified of that.
Yeah.
Of it going in my eye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you don't fear that your scalp's going to be removed, do you?
Well,
that's a bit weird.
That's kind of worse, actually, the eye. But yeah, I have fear like that, yeah.
We turned up in a field in Southampton, a trout farm, the place where we were to erect our tents and light a fire. It was freezing cold. What's funny?
Trout farm. I don't know why.
It was a trout farm.
I don't know why, it just sounds rude.
Wait, what was that?
It's not even a one.
No, I know, but it just sounds like it could be one. Trout farm.
It was a trout farm.
It's not even a thing.
You're off to the trout farm.
Yep. You're a trout farm.
Grow up. It was freezing cold and the wind was strong, not ideal for fishing. In fact, it was so bad that the owner of the trout farm, banned us from fishing, deciding instead to take out a massive net and hook a couple of trouts for us to barbecue. Erecting the... Sorry, I've got this trout thing in my head now. Right. Erecting the tent was also a struggle, but after a couple of hours or so, we were sitting around the fire, drinking and having a good laugh. There was a small marquee that the trout farm provided, although the legs had to be removed due to the wind. We used this to shelter in, playing a few games and having a couple of drinks. As usual, one of the members of staff took things a little too far, removing his clothes and swinging from the roof of the marquee while singing Baywatch.
Always one. Always now, one.
I've never been at a Christmas party or a party where that's happened.
Now, there's a video of this. I can show you, Becky.
What do you type in to get it?
I can't say because he's naked in it. Oh. But I'm going to do it now. Hang on. There he is.
Oh, my God.
Right, enjoy this.
Because I'm always ready. I won't let you out of my sight. I'll be ready.
Do you like that?
I've seen better.
As you can...
It's had 412 views.
I know, but it's sort of secret.
What are the comments? Oh, no comments.
Continue.
As you can see, the night was great fun. Freezing cold, but was great to be out with some brilliant mates, many of whom are still really good mates to this day. It was quite late in the evening. Me and a couple of lads, Nick, Alan Green and Lukey, had decided to go for a bit of a wander. Earlier in the night, someone had found a small boat, and we thought it'd be a brilliant idea to sail it.
Where did they find a boat?
It was just sort of moored up on the side of the river.
Okay.
It was a small boat with no oars. We got into the boat and Alan pushed us away from the shore. The boat started to float into the middle of the river.
What river is this?
I don't know, it's near Eastleigh though.
Oh.
So sort of round your way.
Yeah.
We were sailing. The boat continued to float away. It was brilliant. Everything was going well until the point I felt water under my feet. It was coming in fast. There was a hole. We hadn't struck ice, but the boat was sinking and I was going down. Admittedly, the river was only 5 foot deep, but all the same, I panicked. Bailing ship, I made a jump for the shore, grabbed a fistful of reeds and my body went under. It was an emergency situation, but luckily, from a young age, my personal survival training kicked into action.
Bear Grylls?
Kind of. Of all the things I've done in my life, I always thought the personal survival badge in swimming lessons was the most pointless. Even at a young age, I always wondered, when was I ever going to need to pick up a brick from the bottom of a pool?
That's true. When do you ever need that?
And it's like, the other thing they make you do in the personal survival is like swim through a hoop.
Yeah.
Well, underwater.
When's that ever going to happen?
I've never really seen why you would ever do that.
Agreed.
In your pyjamas.
Apart from maybe if you were appearing on Total Wipeout.
Exactly, yeah. That's the only reason I can see why you would need that training. But the training obviously worked. I didn't panic, and eventually Alan helped me out and pulled me out of the water. I stood there, in a field near Eastleigh, freezing cold and soaked.
Oh, you don't want that.
To make matters worse, I had no sleeping bag that night, and had to share a tent with the guy that had earlier been swinging naked from the roof of the marquee.
Oh, God.
Looking back, it was a great night, though. If I could... But if I could pass on one thing, don't try sailing on your staff parties. And that's it.
Brilliant. So you're freezing cold and in Eastleigh.
Yeah.
Bad times.
Not as bad as that bloke who's now got video evidence of...
So this was like 4 years ago, right?
Yeah.
And the guy in the video...
The one swinging?
Yeah, yeah. Like he could be, I don't know, like a really successful lawyer or MP or something now.
Lloydie?
Yeah.
No, he still works in Jesters.
Oh, good.
I thought he'd be part of some sort of circus troupe by now, with that swinging action. He could be in, like, Cirque du Soleil, the late-night version.
I like that idea. Yeah? Like an extreme Cirque du Soleil.
Like Rude Circus.
Saucy Circus.
Yeah. That's going to scar me, that.
You've heard it before. You've heard it before. That was a classic, 24 years at the tap end, before the new season happens at lunchtimes next week.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Let's do it. Zach Purchase, Chris Dark. This is Innuendo Bingo, our greatest team. Now, you can't watch this at the moment on the website. You're probably quite busy with, like, getting to work and stuff anyway. But we are doing a video, which we'll slap up on the Radio 1 YouTube channel later on. Right, OK, so have we got... Where are your medals?
We've got
lost them again.
No, we've got them displayed behind here.
Excellent. OK, so you'll see this on the video later on.
Yeah. And they match the bin, actually.
They match the bin, yeah. And, Zach, you're wearing your Team GB kind of...
Waterproof.
I've come prepared. I've got the full outfit. I've got the trousers as well. I'm very rustly.
Very good.
Very plasticky.
So
I'm quite warm.
You're ready to get wet.
Yeah, I've got a hood that can go up. And I'm going
to
be...
Let's leave the hood for now. I don't want you to hold back, because new people on this game, sometimes they get a bit embarrassed. They put their hand up to their mouth. Don't do that. Just feel free to destroy him.
I feel really sorry for Chris.
No, don't.
He's just said he's only got one pair...
I'm wearing jeans, t-shirt, and I'm wearing a tie that Gemma Kearney gave me.
It's a nice tie.
To make me more fashionable.
Bang on trend.
During breakfast this week.
Right, good. It does clash with your t-shirt.
Apparently purple ties are in.
Did you actually text into Gemma's show?
Of course I did, yeah, I love
when
it.
When was this, on the fashion bit?
Yeah, she was talking about London Fashion Week.
Right. And you texted into 81199?
Yeah.
And you do work here?
Yes. And then this morning, I noticed she'd gone out and bought me a tie. To make me more fashionable, which
That's
is very
good.
Kind of her.
Yeah, it looks good. Okay, are we ready?
We're good to go.
Right, here we go.
Okay. Here is Innuendo Bingo with an Olympic medalist and my friend Chris.
Here we go.
Let me know where you're listening. 81199. Rachel and Kent in private study at school trying not to laugh. Nothing's happened yet. And also Nathan in Newport is ready.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's do it. Got your water?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go over to Five Live Breakfast with Nicky Campbell.
David, thank you very much indeed. Lovely talking to you. Thank you for the advice. If you're gonna sleep with your pet, be very, very careful.
Oh,
straight off.
It's one we've played before, but I really like it.
If you're gonna sleep with your pet, be very, very careful.
Right, who's wettest at the moment?
Well, I mean, technically, he's wearing waterproof, so he's gonna be all right.
Don't hold back, Zach.
He dived out of the way. That's cheating.
Okay, next one.
Get better aim.
Next on Bingo, we head over to the Archers. They love it, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Rosie in Luton spotted this one.
So, are you going to wipe the floor at the community games too?
Whoa, what? Nothing happened on the clip.
Sorry.
More went water,
too,
please.
Went too soon. Sorry.
Let's see if we can get through this one.
So, are you going to wipe the floor at the community games too?
Yeah, you bet. I'm a champion Wellywanger.
Oh!
I'm sorry.
Chris, you've soaked our...
That's one of my favourites.
You've soaked one of our athletes.
To beat the best, you've got to be the best. Is that right?
Sorry.
I haven't long finished milking myself.
Oops.
That went in my face.
It did go in your face. I might play that one again.
I haven't long finished milking myself.
Chris is gone. Oh, and Zach's gone. Okay. God bless the Archers. There's so many clips. Every week. They do it on purpose. And now, let's head over to BBC Breakfast.
His character is actually based on a real person who left the army, went to work for the NHS, and then went to take over a doctor's practice. And three of the staff resigned because they was treating them like they were his privates.
You're aiming for my face!
Get him, Zach. Don't let him win.
I'm
Team GB.
I'm just going to use an entire glass of water on this.
Do it.
Whoa.
You know? Team GB.
I haven't been this wet for a long time.
What? Okay. And now let's head over to X Factor USA. Simon Cowell.
It really frustrates me now, because I have to make the decision, you understand that, sweetheart. And I think I've probably spent the most time going through you than anyone else.
He held on to it. Have you managed that?
A big spurt from Zach. Chris, it's fine. Well done.
Yeah.
Okay, more water, please. Get a load in them. Zach, go on. Okay, good. Now, over on Women's Hour on Radio 4, they've lost their first guests.
And now it's time for Women's Hour with Jenny Murray.
Good morning. Where are all the lesbians?
Yes. Yes. Yes, Zach. That's my favourite new one for a while.
And now it's time for Women's Hour with Jenny Murray.
Good morning. Where are all the lesbians?
Okay. Right. More, please. And it's over to helicopter rescue.
Over 3,000 feet in the air, it's the first time 59-year-old Fiona MacArthur has ever been winched.
Chris is gone. Zach, you fine? Oh, he's gone. That's not even one, but it's still good. Yeah. Okay.
Right. I'm running out of water here.
You take massive gulps, don't you?
I'm trying to, yeah. I'm failing miserably on my aim. You've had lots of practice, and I'm falling short.
Michelle says Chris seems to like squirting in the face, while Zach seems to be a little premature with the spurting. It's because he's new. I'm loving this athlete's shower on Innuendo Bingo, says George from Uckfield. Athlete's shower. Okay, more water, please.
Reload.
Now, Tom in Manchester spotted this one. And on Five Live, they've had some ideas to make football more interesting.
After 95 minutes, if there hasn't been a goal, Fergie pulls one of the Man City players off, and Mancini pulls a Man United player off.
Make more room available on the pitch, and therefore it's more likely we'll get goals.
Minutes, yeah, another 5 minutes goes past, then they pull off...
Pull another player off each side, yes.
Yeah,
well, that suggestion was made some years ago. But
really?
It was never followed through. No, it was never followed through. I think there's some there is some sense in that.
Yeah. They lost it within about 3 seconds of that being on. Okay.
There's too much in that one.
There was.
Too much good news.
Oh, yeah.
You know who you can always rely on for a good bit of innuendo? Richard Madeley.
Paradise is a man's fishing hole.
Oh, Zach, it's a good job you're wearing those waterproofs.
It really is.
If they were normal trousers, you wouldn't be able to stand up anytime soon.
Chris, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm all right. Just got that one in the
face.
In the face.
Yep. And one more.
Hang on.
You're running out of water as well. This is great.
One more.
Yeah. And it's the Champions League final.
Didier Drogba, well, he's just a big lovable lump, really. Graham Norton seemed to get inside him last night. Hard to fathom at times.
Oh, Zach, it's dripping off your nose now. Oh, you've ruined him, Chris.
Our greatest team.
Our greatest team.
Our greatest wet team.
Zach, thank you very much for being the first of our Olympic people today on Innuendo Bingo. We've got them all week, but thank you so much for replying to his drunk text at 11:30 when he was in the pub and coming on to the show today. We really appreciate
it. Glad to have been a guinea pig.
Well, thank you. That was Innuendo Bingo. We have videoed that, and as soon as we can, we'll get it up on the Radio 1 YouTube so you can have a look. Zach Purchase, thank you. Nice shaking of the hands there.
Sportsman.
And that was Innuendo Bingo, our greatest team.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
Coming up, an early chance to win some Scott Mills points. Chris has been calling up Deborah Meaden, our favourite dragon again, with some different business ideas. We were doing this last week as well in the afternoon. You need to stop calling her as much, I think.
I don't think she minds as much as you seem to think she does.
She always says, I like it that you've got ideas. But then she doesn't like any of them.
I've got this weird relationship with Deborah Meaden, I think. And it all started a while ago. And then there was that time she came into Hackney. Do you remember when we did our show from Hackney?
At the Hackney Academy.
And I gave her one of our sort of one of our nudie pens, one of those strip pens that we give out.
Yeah.
And ever since then, when I watched Dragon's Den, I was watching it yesterday, I can't look at her the same way because she's very serious on that show.
Yeah, and you suggested that we did a Dragon's Den version of the nudie pen. Yeah, you called it a dirty dragon's pen.
Yeah.
And she went, like you genuinely shocked her.
But I feel I can talk to her about these things. I don't know if it's just me thinking that, but she seems
to be... Do you see her as a mum figure?
Yeah, a sort of like a cool aunt.
Yeah.
And that's why I feel I can say these things to her and talk to her about... You know, erotic stuff.
So how long will Deborah Meaden entertain Chris's business idea today?
That came out wrong.
That's horrible. I feel like I can talk to Deborah Meaden about erotic stuff.
No, and I don't mean that because she's like an aunt figure.
I don't think she feels the same.
I mean it because she's cool. And like, even though she's serious on Dragon's Den, I think she's got that side to her.
Keep digging.
Which, again, isn't worded right, but I think people know what I mean.
Morning, Mrs. Mead, if you're listening.
Hello, Mrs. Mead.
So... Deborah Meaden, how long will she stay on the phone for before she has to go? Or will she, as she hasn't done so far, invest?
BBC Radio 1.
The Scott Mills Daily.
And now it's time for Dear Scott, the posh Radio 4 lady, reading out your emails. Have you emailed me this week? We normally do this in the afternoon, but we're doing it all this week in the morning.
Dear Scott, Chris and Becky.
Hi.
What are your thoughts on pre-gym music? The other day, I was at my gym getting changed when I started to pay attention to the music playing in the changing room. I don't know if they were trying to motivate me, as I am a bit off it at the moment, but I started to realise that it was the title music to Grandstand, off of the olden days, Saturday afternoon. Could it be like the Eye of the Tiger is for boxing, music from Grandstand is for workout? Tim, at work, in Kirkby.
Are you aware of this song, Scott? The music from Grandstand? It's a tune.
Is it the one that goes... Is that still on?
I don't think Grandstand... No, it's not on anymore. It's still a tune.
Right.
And would motivate put it
on
me.
You wouldn't put it on your MP3 player, would you?
Well, I don't know. I like it.
Get this on. This is perfect. Open Gangnam Style. This makes me want to play it again now. Gangnam Style. This is good for the gym. Yeah.
Yeah, it's good for the gym, but it wouldn't work if they brought back Grandstand and they needed a new theme. It doesn't work the other way around.
No, really not. Next.
Hi, Scott. I haven't got a proper belly button. I suppose I'll have to get a photo to you. From Phil, off of Huddersfield.
We were playing Real or No Real, where we get some facts and then some are made up last week on the show. And we're talking about people and things, animals, that don't have belly buttons. It does happen.
Right.
There's the proof. A lot of people were saying, no, of course, everyone's got a belly button, but some people don't have a proper one. Thanks for clearing that up. Next!
Dear Scott, Becky, Chris and everyone else, what did Chris have for lunch yesterday? Could you say good luck to my sister, Katie, who has recently moved to go to uni in London? Love you, bye. Stephen Brown, 17, Leybourne, in Kent.
Good luck, Katie. This is because of your lunch obsession, where it's all he talks about for like 2 hours when we do our normal show.
It's weird that people care so much.
Well, they don't. They're just kind of checking up on you.
Interested in my lunch. Well, yesterday was Sunday. It would have been a nice Sunday roast. But if you're talking about last week, I don't know. It's probably some chicken and rice thing, wasn't it?
And next.
Hi, Scott, Chris and Becky. One of my favourite moments, and not just Scott Mills' favourite, I mean absolute favourite moments, was when Chris did stand-up comedy and we were introduced to the slightly disturbing gentleman giving his support to Chris in the way of screeching, first time, each time one of Chris's jokes fell flat, which, from memory, was most of Chris's jokes, if I'm not mistaken.
I forgot this when we got you to go and do stand-up.
This was a while ago.
Yeah, and there was a guy in the audience who just shouted, first time!
Mm. It was an awkward one for me. Do you remember? It was Revision Week, I think it was called, on Radio 1, and you actually sent me to a stand-up comedy night to teach GCSE geography.
I've got a bit here.
Magma, lava, rock. 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 Magma. Right, thank you so much, and good luck in your GCSE geography.
It was informative.
Yes. But it wasn't really funny. It was just, it was literally me teaching them GCSE geography.
First time.
First time!
That was the first time guy, wasn't it?
Yeah. Was it his first time at a comedy night or something?
It was whenever, because it was like an open mic comedy night, if it was your first time, they wanted to encourage you. So people in the crowd would shout that, and he was particularly good.
First time!
Anyway, being so inspired by this individual, I've since adopted the screaming of first time to acknowledge significant and first time events in my life.
Good.
To give you a few notable examples where I've had the pleasure of screaming first time include... to the nice police officer when I got my first speeding ticket, who I must confess wasn't very nice after I yelled first time while he was writing out the ticket.
So you got your first parking ticket?
I like that.
First time!
To the dancer when my mates bought me my first saucy dance, which promptly got me a warning from the bouncer and a very awkward next 20 minutes.
Oh, thanks for the dance. First time.
To the immigration officer when we arrived at Los Angeles Airport, which resulted in a 15-minute conversation with her supervisor.
Don't ever do that in American airports because they're really scary. Have you been to American airport?
I once.
They make you feel really bad and really guilty, even if you've done nothing. Stand behind the line, sir! All right. Calm down, love.
I like this person really shouts first time.
First time!
The problem is, however, that most of my mates think I'm completely mad. And even though I've tried to explain many times this first time scene, I feel they'd understand a lot better if I could share the actual clip with them. So please, if you ever feel like going down memory lane, could I place a vote for it to be at the top of your list?
Not a worry, yeah, we'll put that down.
Gareth, 25 years old, 6'1", athletically built, funny, 7 out of 10, from New Zealand.
I like it that people rate themselves.
What, out of 10?
I'd say I'm a 7.
And I've noticed this a lot more, actually. Like, generally, I've noticed it on Twitter and stuff like that. It's like, I think it's almost like a lad thing. It's like a rating, you rate... Let's say I met this girl out.
Right, okay. 6 out of 10.
6 out of 10. I've noticed this a lot more.
Email scott.mills@bbc.co.uk if you've got anything of note to say. It'll get on. The Scott Mills Daily. I was on a lot of motorways yesterday. M25, M4, M3, if you're interested.
Why are you telling us this?
That's not that interesting. It's just that I just saw so many people in estate cars, literally full of all their belongings, because so many people... went to uni for the first time or back to uni today. So, Hello, if that was you. I got some waves as well from people.
Does that happen to you?
Sometimes.
Did you royal wave back?
No, just do a kind of, hi!
And were you driving?
Yeah. And it was really nice, actually.
Are you sure it wasn't like the police waving you over?
No, they were. Unmarked, if they were. No, it was mostly on the M3. I found that to be the friendliest motorway. And
did you stop at Fleet?
I did stop at Fleet, actually, and God, it's so good.
Such a good service,
is that? Honestly, I mean, I've said it before and I'll say it again. There is no better services than Fleet services.
Yeah.
It's got absolutely everything you need.
Tip shelf's good.
The what?
Tip shelf.
Yes. And also, I was spotted buying flowers there yesterday, and everyone on Twitter was like, oh, what have you done? I'm just going to give them to my mum. Thanks. I haven't done anything wrong.
Yeah.
But yeah, so literally. Cars full to the brim with stuff like duvets, like cardboard boxes, to the point where you can't see out of any mirror. So hi, if you've been to uni for the first time, hello, if maybe you're waking up in your new uni halls.
At this time?
Well, some people might be, they'll be too nervous.
No one gets up at this time at uni, Scott.
I think
people just going home.
Initially, people will... Yeah, there'll be people going home, but there will be some people that are awake and listening because they're scared.
No.
I bet you they're texting.
There's no one... No students are listening.
Okay, good. Well, let's see, shall we?
No, sorry, I don't...
Thanks
don't
very much. Right, so Chris calls up Deborah Meaden, and she's our favourite dragon. And he comes up with another great business idea, as he so often does. He wants investment, but how long will he stay on the phone for with Deborah Meaden before she has to go? Is it 1? No, let's say A, 1 minute 30 seconds, B, 2 minutes 30 seconds, or C, Deborah decides that he is a genius after all and invests £400,000 into Chris's brilliant idea. Guess away on 81199 at BBCR1 on Twitter. So here's Chris calling Deborah Meaden. Is it A, 1 minute 30 she stays on for, 2 minutes 30 is B, £400,000 worth of quality investment is C? What are you saying? Here's the call.
Hello?
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 Are you answering quickly there? Hello, Mrs. Mead, it's Chris.
Hello, Chris.
Who's that man? It's an app. I've got an idea for an app.
called Who's That Man? It's based on the idea of a popular app called Shazam.
Chris, can I just wind you back to the first last conversation we had?
I just assumed you were busy.
Go on then.
This app uses facial recognition software to identify people's faces. See someone on the street or in a club, you want to know their name. Shazam, that man. No, Shahu, that man them.
Or ask them what their name is.
Or you could ask them their name, yes, yeah. But that's often an awkward conversation, isn't
it? No, I think asking them what their name is probably easier.
I think I'm onto a winner with this. I'll give you 50%.
And how much money do I have to put into this?
I'm looking for about 400 grand.
Ah, and what are you going to spend the 400,000 on?
The facial recognition software and the...
And how much is that going to cost you?
Loads, I imagine.
Chris, it's been lovely, but really... No.
No.
Can I, if I just say those two magic words, will you please leave me alone? I'm out.
Oh.
Bye then.
Bye, Mrs. Mead.
Bye.
See, I think she's...
She seemed happier with that one.
I was going to call her stupid. I think she's missed a trick there, because I think that was actually one of your better ideas.
Yeah.
Sure, who is that man? if you said, A, 1 minute 30, then give yourself 10 Scott Mills points to start your day. There's loads of students on. Emma Carter, awake and listening in her new student house in Manchester because she's scared. Dan in Leeds, third-year student, has just gone back. Student at Leeds Met, been up since 5.30 for swimming training. That's from Matt off of Leeds. That's just unnecessary. Driving into Salford Uni for day one is Beck in Manchester. And Libs from Nottingham is a scared student listening in her brand-new house.
The Scott Mills Daily.
If I just say those two magic words, will you please leave me alone?
I was wondering what the two magic words might be.
Yeah, I did worry for a minute there.
Phew, she said I'm out.
You couldn't blame her. She loves me really, I think.
The Scott Mills Daily. BBC Radio 1.
So, very exciting on the official chart with Reggie Yates yesterday. Amelia Lilly was in the studio. I really like that song, You Bring Me Joy. And Amelia was there to find out if she had the number one song in the UK. I always like it, don't you, when the person who's got the number one is in the studio?
Yeah.
Anyway, here was how the top 10 sounded if you missed it yesterday. Fun at number 10 with Some Nights. Bomb Bomb. Sam and the Womp. Carly Rae Jepsen and Owl City, Good Time. Good Time. Flo Rida.
Five.
Pink and Blow Me One Last Kiss.
Four.
Little Mix and Wings. Neo, Let Me Love You Until You Learn to Love Yourself, last week's number one. You'll notice that someone missed out number seven there, like it wasn't important, and it is.
Style it out.
Lots of people that can't count. Taylor Swift and We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together, moving up one place at number seven. So, two songs left. Amelia Lilly is in the studio, and there's the script song. But who's going to be number one?
This is your official chart, and I've got some brilliant news for you, Amelia Lilly.
Oh, she can't wait, I bet.
There is one more new entry to play, and it's you at number two.
Two! Awkward.
Two! What? Not bad at all.
No.
Feeling good about that, I'll take it then, yes?
I'm very, very pleased.
Good.
With that.
Yeah, try and sound happy.
Hadn't she been at number one, like, all week?
Yeah. That's awkward, isn't it? So, Amelia Lilly number two, and the script number one. I wasn't expecting that. I don't think the chart show were either. And then they got someone called Glenn on the phone from the script. I don't even think there's a Glenn in the script.
No, I've never heard of...
But if someone rings up and says, hello, I'm in the script, you're not going to not put them on air, are you?
Who's Glenn?
I've no idea.
Anyway, here's the UK's official number one.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
Right, there's someone that went to see the script in Stoke last week, and they're saying that Glenn Power is the drummer and Mark Sheehan is the guitarist. Right. I feel a bit sorry for Glenn and for Mark.
I think we should champion him.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Always, it's all about Danny, isn't
it? It's all about Danny, and he's a lovely bloke, Danny.
But it's like, imagine poor Glenn. So he's out somewhere. So what do you do? I'm a musician. Well, actually, I'm a bit of a pop star, actually. Sure. Okay, what's your name? I'm Glenn. I'm in the script. Who?
I think we should get Glenn to be the new judge on The Voice.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I think we should really fight his cause a bit.
Yeah.
More.
Him and Will from Coldplay.
Yes.
Maybe. You know? The lesser knowns. Yeah, nice try, mate. No, I am actually in the script. Yeah, I've never heard of you. And poor Mark as well. There's a Mark too. Anyway, well done to the script. Nice lads. And Hall of Fame is the UK's official number one this week.
BBC Radio 1.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Hi, Fern Cotton.
Morning.
How are you?
Sorry, I was having a chat.
Hi.
You're right.
I'm all right. Yes, we've just played Olympic in the bingo.
I saw that. There was a lot of face spitting today.
There was. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you, yeah. We were just talking about... did you hear about our show Goldfish?
Yes.
Yeah. Right, I'll fill you in on that later.
Oh, no.
No, there's
are they all right?
Nothing sinister's happened, but there's been a change of plan.
Right.
Due to us working at the BBC.
Oh, someone in health and safety said you can't have them in there. Oh.
Can you rename them health and safety?
I think that might be a good idea, actually. Why... You know what I said to you guys the other day? Why is a fish dangerous? I need to have a list of reasons as to why it's a dangerous thing.
I don't know.
Unhealthy.
This reminds me of the time where Mary J. Blige came in and they wouldn't let her have scented candles.
She wanted scented candles in the studio?
While she did an interview.
Oh, that's amazing.
And they said no, and someone came along with a big fire extinguisher and put them out.
Well, I tried to light a birthday cake in the office about 6 months ago and was told if I did, Chris Moore's show would be taken off air.
Yes.
And that has happened, unfortunately. So.
Is that how it works?
I once brought my own mini kettle into here when we were doing the morning show, and that was also not allowed.
A little travel kettle?
And, yeah, just a small one. They're like, no, it could injure you or maybe kill you.
It's a big shame because basically they want us to starve, die of thirst and have no fun, right? Is that what's happening?
Because fish are fun.
Fish are very fun. These fish are, Vinny and Jay.
I know
they're
they
a riot. But we've got, I'll give a proper update later. But you guys, good? You have a nice weekend?
We're good. It's, we're just saying, this is the shortest Radio 1 Breakfast Show run in history.
Yeah, it is. This is the limbo week.
Because I'm not filling in for anybody.
No.
So it's pretty much mine until I get sacked on Friday. Mm.
Right. And you know you're going to get sacked on Friday, which
I know.
Is the other weird thing as well.
Yeah, I start the show knowing that it's all going to be over by Friday.
That's kind of like, at least it's not a shock, do you know what I mean? Because that would be horrible if on Friday you went, really?
Clear your desk.
You're out. Well, look, we shall enjoy you for a whole week.
Why, thanks.
And love you, muchos.
Have a Bye-bye. Lovely time. Bye. So, if you liked that, make sure you join us nice and early tomorrow morning at 6:30 on Radio 1, part of the shortest Radio 1 breakfast show in history. It's only a week. If you can't be bothered, then just get this download tomorrow.
Scott Mills, BBC Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1.